Hello, this is Jim Thomas welcoming you to the Message Share Ministry of the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church located in Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. The message you are about to hear was preached in a worship service. After some congregational singing, our speaker is William P. Robbins, who is a pastor and elder.
Indeed, it's a delight to see all. In fact, it's an encouragement to see people who come at a distance. Jamie and Leah are here this morning. Nice to see you both. I was reminded this past week that the early church was not a mega church. I know in Jerusalem they had a lot, but I'm talking about Philippi and those churches that their letters are written to, Colossae. They're very small churches. Now, if you get a little inferior complex about coming to a place where there's only a few people, then you go check out those churches in the New Testament and see whether you can find what is so prominent or such a premium put on. Let's enter into our worship service. I must explain a little bit. The last two times I preached on food for spiritual health, the first one is your health good spiritually. I'm still on that area of spiritual health, and the place that I spend quite a bit of time with is, and you hear it, is 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and that is know yourself. I know some people don't know themselves. They have the idea that somehow, rather by cleverness or something witty or something, will open up the eyes of the lost. He's dead and trespasses in sin. It takes the Spirit of God, not the wittiness of preachers or oratory. God may use it, but don't get the idea that that's the way people are saved, by cleverness. It's not true. People are dead in trespasses and sins. And so I think we don't know ourselves. I don't think we really know, and as the Thessalonians put it, priority is the spirit, then soul, then lastly the body. We got it all confused. Body, soul, and spirit, the preachers say. What? Body, soul, and spirit, preachers preach. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches as preachers. It's spirit, soul, and body. So I wanted to emphasize, it may sound like I'm on a track, and you hear that often. But it's really powerful. What the function of these three are really powerful. I wonder if you know yourself. We'll borrow from Socrates on that for a little bit this morning. Let's sing about the soul this morning some. Number 53, hallelujah, praise Jehovah. Oh, my soul, Jehovah praise. Number 53.
Praises those bound.
Now let us sing Jesus, Lover of My Soul, 427. Lover of My Soul. Roman numeral 12, and I want us to do something that seems rather maybe a little childish, but I don't know how it is with you, but there's certain areas that you do certain things, and one thing that I have done over the years when I go up past the mall on the upper side, I usually start to sing the Lord's Prayer. Now, the last time I went up, I didn't do it. So you say, well, you must have been thinking about something else. No excuse. I want us to do this. I want us to pray the Lord's Prayer. You know it by heart, but just don't be so sure that you understand it. It's the Word of God. Treat the punctuation as periods, so let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
I want us to sing 478. Stand up, my soul, shake off fears. My soul, shake off fears. 478. I'm going to add another hymn to our singing this morning. We're singing about the soul, and I want to turn place to 580, 580. It is well with my soul, 580.
Whatever third stanza in a cappella, because it's such a great stanza on the third.
My sin, all the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul.
Yes, would you turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? And I want to sing I want to read the last few verses. It has to do with that subject, basically, of sanctification, this section. I'm not treating it completely that way this morning, but that's the context. So in honor to the Word of God, let's stand, please, as I read the last few verses here. Verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, here we are this morning. Thank you, and for watching over us and blessing us in so many ways. And we've got a lot of blessings, Lord. Thank you. We know that there's needs. There are loved ones and friends that need salvation. There are Christians that need to be encouraged. And all of us need to grow and to be more sanctified, more like our Lord Jesus. And so we ask and invite you to be present in a special way as we study your word. In the name of Christ, amen. Please be seated. The subject is a matter of spiritual health still. Is your health good? Spiritually? Have you had any spiritual checkups lately? And do you find that maybe there's some areas that need to be rectified and helped? You know, healthy doctrine pays for good spiritual health. I hope you believe that. You can get junk food spiritually. Did you know that? We don't have a very good entertainment program here. Look at the empty seats. However, some of them are ministering the Word of God, like the Waltzes, Rick, this morning. But sound doctrine, healthy doctrine, is really important. I did emphasize that. And we mentioned about how that there's a physical and spiritual connection, and you can't separate that, because in verse 23, it says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, make you more pure like the Lord Jesus. And he prays that God, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, his second coming. So here we are this morning, and I've used Socrates' line. However, there's some debate on that. A number of philosophers use that, know thyself, but I think Socrates is the guy behind it. And you say, well, that's not Bible. No, but it's a good word for us. And if you know your spirit and your soul and your body, in verse 23, do you know the different parts? Can you explain them? Can you apply them to yourself? I hope this isn't just something Robbins has a little problem always bringing up the subject of spirit, soul, and body. Some preachers do have a hobby horse and they ride it. It may be that you can say that, but I tell you what, if you can get the place where you can answer the questions, maybe I'll stop leaning on this. I believe that the Bible teaches that we are made up in three parts. And it's called technically, some of you like technical things, tripartite. Tri is three. Part, three parts. God made us that way. Fact of the matter is, I don't have it written down, but Genesis 2 and verse 7, the first book of the Bible. You want to come back to 1 Thessalonians, though. I think we need to remember that there's an area here, how that the Lord brought about our being. Look at verse 7 of Genesis 2 on this matter of tripartitism. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, it might be interesting to you that in the Hebrew, it says he breathed into his nostrils, Adam's, the breath of lives. What? The breath of lives, plural. Well, it's not there. Well, it might be an oversight. I don't know. I'm not an authority on that, but I do know that God breathed into Adam's nostrils. And how many nostrils do you have? Well, I have two. What do you have two for? Well, I guess I really don't know. Well, the one I believe was the breath for the soul, and the other was the breath of the spirit. We have spirit and soul. God breathed into us. Didn't know that, did you? Well, it might be that we are some things we still need to learn yet, friends. And so the Lord formed man of the dust of the ground. The elements of the ground out here in the field, the same elements that you would have when you walk down the sidewalk. I guess is 13 basic elements. Worth about 78 cents is what you're worth. I'm worth more than that. Not physically, you aren't. Chemically speaking, about 78 cents. Most of it is water. Hey, that's humbling. Well, we need to be humbled. Some of us are a little too proud. We think we really are something. But he did that. Verse 7, he formed man of the dust of the ground. And by the way, it wasn't by evolution. It was by immediate creation. You got that point, don't you? Immediate creation. And so verse 7 says, and then what did he do? He breathed into his nostrils. Notice, plural. And with the breath of life, our lives, and man became a living soul. Quite interesting. I'm not there this morning, but it's there. Now, there are those of you who have already done enough of studying to say, well, preacher, I can tell you this. I've read that there are fellows who are scholars even who believe we are bipartite. Bi means two. Not three, preacher. And I say, yes, sir, I know that. Well, how do you figure that they're wrong and you're right? Well, I don't really have that attitude. I say to people once in a while, when you don't agree with me, why can't we still, if it's peripheral, why can't we still be friends and love the Lord together instead of fighting? I don't want to fight my brother that are bipartite, but I believe if you turn to Hebrews, chapter 4 of Hebrews, maybe I have another verse that would enhance my belief. I'm not going to shoot somebody down who is a bipartite, but I will see this in Hebrews 4, something that's quite interesting. Look at verse 12, and you come up with a conclusion of your own. What is this, a proof text? Yes, sir, it is. It tells about the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. What? That the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Well, I see here, I see three things in that verse. Do you see them, or am I reading it into it? I see there is a difference between soul and spirit, and I see also that there's a body of Jones and joints and marrow. And when I went to school, that came up about three. So I'm not going to fight anybody. If you want to fight, go ahead and fight somebody. I'm not. I just kind of believe that really the Bible does teach, in light of our verse 23 also in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, because it specifically does say there, doesn't it? The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God that your whole spirit, that's one, and soul, that's two, and the body is three. That's tripartite. I guess I'm simple enough to say, if the Bible said so, I guess I'll just accept it that way. I can argue the point also that there's hard to distinguish between soul and spirit. It's hard, but the Bible says it can be distinguished. I guess I'll leave it there. You go ahead if you want to believe in bipartite. I do believe in bipartite. Now, you just said you believed in tripartite. Now you turn around and say you believe in bipartite. Now, which do you believe, preacher? I believe in both of them. That can be. Yeah, it is. I believe back in the Garden of Eden when Adam fell, he died. He didn't die physically. He died spiritually. Yeah. I believe also that his spirit, and I believe that if you checked it out, when he sinned, his spirit died. What? When Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden, his spirit died. He became a bipartite. God created him as a tripartite. Don't understand that? His spirit. Yes, sir. His spirit died, and he only became a soul and a body. Well, that ought to settle then, preacher. Nope. When we get new life and are born again, brethren, he makes a change in us, and he gives us his spirit. We have a human spirit, and the Holy Spirit beareth with our spirit that we're children of God. I want to tell you something. A new birth is more than you think. We get back that spirit. Did you know that? Huh? Am I just playing on something just to say something, huh? No, we need to understand what this is all about. And I maintain we don't understand it yet. And so I'm going to spend a little time. I spent time studying this, and I used a technical word on you. And you have to learn vocabulary. If you take any course and you say you're a Bible Christian, then you ought to understand that the technical term of tripartite, three parts, or bipartite, two parts, that's not hard, is it? That a fifth grader can understand that. All right. Let's look at these different parts a little bit this morning and see if we can learn anything. The spirit part, that's the part that God gave to Adam, and it was a God consciousness. What? The spirit part is God consciousness. Well, I guess I can understand. They had fellowship together. Yeah, I understand that. They had a relationship. Who? Adam and God. So the spirit part, and then I just said to you a few minutes ago, when Adam sinned, then what happened to him? His spirit died, and then he became just body and soul, like lost sinners today, basically are, well, they are. Lost sinners are body and soul, and the big deal is this right here. And I want to explain what the soul is. Well, no, the big deal is here. Well, they're both big deals to a lost person. This isn't, he's not interested in this because he doesn't have the spirit, the God consciousness. He needs to be saved. There's more to this than you think, friends. The more I study, the more I find out how much we don't really understand. Well, I guess we can say, all right, so that's God conscience. And it died Adam, and then the second Adam, by a new birth and trusting the Lord Jesus, we get receive the Spirit, and the Spirit of God bears witness of our spirit that we are children of God. But what about this soul part? Soul part. That's the part that I want to spend some time with, and I may not be finished this morning. So just set yourself, then maybe next time, maybe even Wednesday night, we'll continue this, is the soul part. Now, the soul part is the self-consciousness. This is God consciousness. This is self-consciousness. A lot of people are very selfish. Self, 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 self. Me. But that's the real you, and that's the real me. What? The real you is your soul consciousness. And the real me is my soul consciousness. Well, is that good or bad? Well, yeah. If it's the real you, it's your personality. Personality has an explanation for it. It involves intellect, chung 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 chung, emotions, and will. I will do this. So this soul says, all right, this is self-consciousness, and I have an intellect, and I have emotions, and I have a will. That's all I need to know, and I get this body taken care of. That becomes a religion in itself. I said to my doctor this week, I said, hey, doc, I'm glad to meet you. The first time for us, I said, I want to ask you, first of all, do you believe that we are more than body? He said, well, yeah. I said, I went to a doctor one time. He said, I don't believe in a soul. I don't believe in a spirit. Never saw one. He lived in Matoursville. I said, are you of that stripe? He said, no, I'm not. I'm of the stripe that there's more to us than bodies. Fine, let's see if we can get something done here. Would you help me? So are you that way? It's me, myself. I am the attention. I am the one, and the real you is the soul. And I have smarts enough, I'm brilliant enough about matters, I've been real sharp about some things, I got an education. And not only that, I have emotions, and I try to keep my emotions, I keep my soul to control my body. I laugh at that. How much soul keeping of the body is done today? Well, the soul has the power over the body. Some people can do it. But I just want to say that it has to do with the environment. Are we getting overpopulated? What's going to be with this here radiation from Japan? Can I be able to drink bought milk? The soul is really concerned about these things. I want to get on that more. But do I have to say much about this one? You spend so much time with that, I don't need to talk about that, do I? The body. Yes, sir, the body. The body is the Bible says is the house. This is the house for this. What? It is the tent for this. The real you is you. When I look at you this morning, I don't see the real you. It's behind those eyes. The soul is not what we see. We see the body. The body is only the house for the soul. It's a tent, the Bible says. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of God? So when you look at me, you really don't see me. You see my body, but my real me is the soul with the intellect, emotion, and will, the personality. So, this body sustains the soul. Let's go have a little exercise. Just induce jumping jacks. Come on, don't be silly. I'm not silly. Why do you say that? Because if we use jumping jacks to strengthen our body, it'll be a stronger backbone for our soul. Now you're getting off there. No, there's nothing wrong in taking care of the body. Don't get the idea that we're anti-body. But I do give you the idea this is being worshipped. Cosmetically, money-wise, it's the biggest money thing going right now. I don't know quite where to bring that part in, but a friend of mine of almost 60 years, we've known each other, a retired school teacher. We hunted together. We've had a nice fellowship, passed away. Now, they're going to take Ben, because I know from my home church what they'll do, and they'll doll him all up. Yep, and we'll go to the viewing of the funeral, and there's Ben. Boy, he looks good. Man, he sure looks good, Ben does. Well, there he is. There in the coffin. That's a nice coffin. Look at all those flowers. Isn't that something? He must have been a very popular teacher in Plymouth, Pennsylvania. Look at all those flowers. Look at that crowd. And they come to look at Ben. Duke. What's wrong with that? Well, not really too much wrong with it, but you got to be careful. Heathenism comes in there pretty strong. Pretty strong. Heathenism comes in there pretty strong. Pretty strong. In the coffin. And that's not a cheap tin thing either. That's really oak. That's wooden. Boy, you spend a lot of money for the body. Yep, that's the way we do it in our culture, preacher. Are you going to change it? Not really. Well, then go for a cremation. Not really. Well, what are you trying to say? I would say, do like the Jews did. Bury it as soon as you can. What, the body? That isn't right. Why isn't it? You're going to be a heathen, make big deal about this, and say, oh, there's Uncle Ben. And the little children say, well, honey, Uncle Ben, yes, but he's not here. He's in heaven. What? Uncle Ben's not here. He's in heaven. It's confusing. Confusing to adults with intellect and emotion and will. Are you a little confused yet? I have a hard time with cremation because it's a way of pagans to just go burn the old body. And yet it was the temple. It was the house. It sustained the soul. And I just throw it over the bank and let it decompose and let the fumes go up into the air. No, I don't think we're promoting that either. Well, what are you promoting? I'm promoting that we need to use some good common sense about it. Do you have any idea how much it's costing you, taxpayer, to bring home our boys from war in a bag, maybe just some bones, and then try to prove who they are? Do you have any idea how much that's cost? How much that cost? It's really some big deal with us. What are you trying to say? We'll let the limb fall where let it go, let it be there. Oh, no, I want him to be with me at the cemetery. See, you know you're talking as a preacher because preachers don't know anything. You can't explain it to people. They just got in their head culturally. Hey, that's the way we've done it. That's the way we're going to continue to do it. And if it cost me $15,000, which is now not really that expensive for a funeral, that's where we're going to spend it. Well, why don't you just have a memorial service? What's a memorial service? You mean the kind they have for those who have cremation? Yeah, but not cremation. Put them in the bot. Put them in the grave. Come on now. Bury them. Decompose sets in. That's not you. Your soul went somewhere. If you're an unbeliever, you know where it went, to Hades, and it's waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then it will be cast into outer darkness, into hell. And the believer, what happened to the believer? Well, his soul and spirit, he's a tripartite, goes to be with the, in the presence of the Lord. And when he comes back, they will join the soul and the spirit with the body and come out of the ground and the water, wherever. See, I know that. Do you know it? Sometimes I wonder, we hear these things, but we don't seem to, well, I don't know. We've done that, been there, so what do I care? I'm going to have to give an account for what I say, and you're going to have to get an account for hearing it and checking it out. You think that's going to be a picnic? Sure, you'll get to heaven, but if he looks at you and say, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you pay attention? So the real you is not the body. You say, well, I know that. It's the soul. And we get this when we are born. Yes, sir, we get a soul. He formed man of the dust of the ground first. Yes, sir. And he was fully developed. He was a tripartite, and he is breathing, and God breathed through his nostrils, the spirit and the soul part. The soul part. The soul part has a consciousness. I've already said that. Where is the soul? See, I know all there is about this. Where is the soul located, Doc? Well, it's in my body. My body, it's in my body. But where is the soul located? Well, what do I know? If he breathed into the nostrils, it must be somewhere near the head. Probably in your cranium. That's the toughest part of you anyway. And he breathed into the cranium, the toughest part. Protection. Oh, that's why some people are fatheads. Did he say that? Well, they call you that sometimes, but a fathead? No, that's not it either. And so, your soul, I want to tell you something. This is going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. Either in heaven or in hell, it does not die. This thing, it dies and goes in the grave. But it also, the ashes of such will be united with this, and they'll be together. And heaven, my friend, is the new earth, new heaven and new earth, not just in the presence of Jesus Christ, which is happening now. The real heaven is the new heaven and new earth. What do you know about the new heaven and new earth? You see, dear friends, we assume that we know a lot about these things. There's more here than you think. This is the Word of God, not a concoction of men teaching religiously. Now, let's talk about this girl. A little baby comes forth, and you say, oh, isn't she precious? Isn't he a precious thing? And say, oh, yeah, it really is. And he giggles, he goggles, and he squawks, and all those things that the babies do. Do you remember when they stuck a milk bottle in your mouth? Oh, come on, preacher. Do you remember when they went dingy, 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 dingy? How much of that do you remember? I don't remember any of those things. Remember him changing my diaper? I don't remember any of those things. Well, then this soul, it must grow. And it does. I like that. You get smarter. Yes, you do. Intellect, emotion, will. You get smarter. And you have things pretty much under the control of things, supposed to control your body. It's quite interesting. Do you know yourself? Do you know yourself? Some people don't. Never take time to talk about this. Same old, as far as they're concerned. No, it's not the same old, same. Your mind develops in this soul. Some of you have an education. Some of you don't. Well, some of you are gifted in certain ways, some of us aren't. And so both develop. Yes, that's true. Both develop. The spirit part is what I really like to deal with. There's where I like to deal with. But I have to talk about this more, I know. Because this is where confusion comes. You say it lives forever and ever. And the body will be glorified. And it'll be a place, a new heaven, a new earth, renovated by fire. This is all going to burn up. Everything becomes new. We'll be in a new heaven, new earth, new bodies. Yes, having the spirit, tripartite. Yeah. You can let your mind wander a little bit. I wonder if married people will, how they'll act in the new heaven, new earth. Are we going to be, hey, there's Shirley over there. Hey, he's married to her 50-some years or whatever. No, I think we need to look into what it's all about. We'll be like the angels. I know that. It said marriage, you'd be like the angels. They don't marry. But I think there's going to be a closeness. It's really something. And so, what happened to Ben? His soul and his spirit, he's tripartite, left the body. You say, only God knows that. That's right. I'm going to have to cover my tracks. I don't know whether Ben really loved the Lord. He said he did not, so we take people at their word. But only God knows whether you're saved, brother, sister. You may give the impression that you just know the Lord. You got everything under control. Religiously, you do the right things. You go to church, you give money, and you do good works. And you think you got it made. It may be that you're lost like that deacon of years ago from Dimmock, Pennsylvania. He came to visit down at Jackson Baptist. And he came several times. Mr. Ely came because his brother lived next door. And he said, hey, preacher, I got to tell you something, old man. See now? Oh, no. No, no. He was a businessman. He said, God saved me. What? God saved me, preacher. What do you mean? You've been an officer in the church, teacher, and all these years. Gray-headed old fella. He said, God saved me. You must be dementia. God saved me, he said. Make your coin election sure. Some people won't take time to do that. They just assume. I said, dear Jesus, come into my heart. I fold my hands like this. Dear Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Preacher said, well, what'd you do? I asked the Lord Jesus to come in your heart. He said, wait a minute. And they did this in my day. Here's a pen. We're going to write this in here. On April the 17th, 2011, William Robbins received Jesus Christ as his Savior, personal Savior. And then put a scripture verse there. It says that that he's be saved forever. And so when I had doubts, I just go, the evangelist preacher wrote that in there. Yep. April 17, 2011, I'm saved. I'm saved. I said a prayer. That isn't it, friends. That isn't it. That isn't it. Where's the repentance? Where's Holy Ghost conviction? Where are you troubled that you're a lost sinner? Where do you see that your sins put Jesus Christ on the cross? Where is it? Where is it? Oh, I don't know. I never was that stripe. I didn't think I was such a bad guy. No, you're raised religiously, and you think you got made just because maybe you said a little prayer one night at your bed or something. We need to know more about this. It's trickery. A lot of it is. And so what am I saying this morning? I'm saying that I believe in tripartism, and that's the technical term, I understand it, only based upon the fact that the Lord saved me. You say, that's my business, not yours. The Lord has saved me, and I have a soul, and I have a body, and I have a spirit. But you said this morning that there are people that only have a body and a soul. Yep, I said that. Well, they're bipartites. That's right. They only have two parts. But when the Lord Jesus saves them, he puts that spirit that was lost, so to speak, that was even killed back in the Garden of Eden because of sin, and he became a lost sinner. By the way, whether you're saved or whether you're lost, we all have what is called in the Bible the old nature. Now, I don't want to hear that. No, I know you don't. I don't want to hear it either. Just because I know Christ is my Savior and I'm a tripartite, I want to tell you I still have the old nature, and so do you. Yes, you do. And this thing needs to be dealt with. Well, what about the lost guy who's a bipartite? He has a body and soul, and he has the old nature and plenty of it. David said, in my haste, I said, all men are liars. Somebody said, I don't think you're too hasty. Well, I want to tell you something. Total depravity is really taught in the Bible. And yet, there are people who think that there's something we can do. You don't have to go by way of salvation. Just some kind of trickery, some kind of art will get a person to come to know Christ. And you can't do it, preacher. Your fancy oratory or sermon outlines is not going to do it, preacher. Sunday school teacher, deacon, it's not going to do it. You think you got the answer. It has to be salvation is of God. Well, I like to hear some good news. I told you good news. I told you that the death of believers is a wonderful thing. The spirit, yes, sir, the spirit and the soul leave the body. And they go as what? 2 Corinthians. You want to hear something good? Sure you do. Why not? Yeah. Did you emphasize goodness? Yes, I have. What the scripture says. Well, verse 8. Tell me something good. I will tell you something. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8 says this, that we are confident. Woo-hoo! I like confidence. I say and willingly rather to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Tell me about the death of a believer. Will you tell me about the death of a believer? Yes. His soul and spirit goes to be in the presence of the Lord. That's what the Word of God says. That's good enough for me. I guess I can sleep on that. And so let the body that's deserted, let it decompose. Yes. Let it be buried. Oh, but I'm not going to end there. I have to end with some more things than that. I'd like us to go to Philippians, where we spent a lot of time. You said, well, you expounded this verse. Sure I did, but, you know, we have a way of forgetting things. Look at Philippians 3 and verse 21. Why? Well, if you want to be encouraged, then about the matter of being a Christian and what happens at death, then I want to share these last few verses with you. Philippians 3 and verse 21. What does that have to say? It says, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things on himself? Yes, sir. We're going to be changed into a glorified body. You won't have to come and say, hey, how you feeling today? Hey, how are you? No. That's a glorified body. We won't have any problems like that. Oh, yes. No, we won't. look at Revelation chapter 21. You get a little excited about things, don't you? Yes, I do. Look at that fourth verse. You want to hear some good news? Death of a believer? Yes, sir. And God shall what? For Revelation 21, verse 4. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Hee-hee! That's what I have looked forward to. How about you? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? Do you know Him individually, personally, or are you just running on some kind of religiosity? Brethren, the hymn puts it, I think, very aptly, that might even do better than me talk about an invitation. Will you turn with me? 390. Come. How about it, ye souls? Yes, sin afflicted, bowed with fruitless sorrow down, by the broken law convicted, to the cross behold the ground crowned. Hymn number 390. Not just slough it off, think it's just something we mechanically have done, but you speak to our hearts. Those who know Christ and those who yet need to know Christ as Savior, please work in our lives. Now, the Lord of peace Himself give you peace, always, by all means. The Lord be with you all. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you for listening to this recording from the Sovereign Grace Baptist Church of Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania. We trust that it will have a lasting and eternal blessing to you. We would encourage you to visit us at 325 Yetter Road, Muncie, Pennsdale, Pennsylvania, or by way of our website at www.localchurchpa.com. That's www.localchurchpa.com. For further information, please call us at 570-546-6859 or email us at email@localchurchpa.com.